ground with my world upside down. I got a vision of your face, and I must get me out for so many memories we've yet to make. God, don't send to me your angels. I just want. Forever love, say you love Big Ame, Big Ame.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Trim Radio Network, where we broadcast live all over the world. You can come on over to the Trim Radio Network and you can buy merchandise, which we'd love to see you in. And I'll tell you what. If you want to be a part of our Trim Radio Network team, all you have to do is message us, and we'd love to see you in our apparel, and it helps us stay on the radio station. The opinions expressed by my host, co-host, guest, myself, and others is not necessarily that of the Trim Radio Network, its owners, managers, or others, and that includes any medical and professional information as well. Always do your own research. And I'll tell you what, tonight... Well, this great song here, first of all, let's talk about it. That is Forever Love from Wreck of the Day, Anna Nalick. And she is absolutely wonderful. So if you get a chance, buy her album, Wreck of the Day. Fantastic album, that's all I can tell you. Anyway, we have a call-in number too, 803-866-1667. 803-866-1667. You know, if you're struggling, you're hurting, you have things going on, and you want to talk, I'm right here. And believe me, I've been through it. I've been rock bottom. I have been through just about as deep as you can go. So far down rock bottom, I began to dig. So, you know, I am here for you if you want to talk. Simply call 803-866-1667, and let's talk about it. But... let's get into reading here. So, you know, last week we were talking about Joseph, and we know all the different things that were going on with him, you know, especially with his brothers and everything else. Joseph was not liked by his brothers, not at all. He had dreams, and he had these dreams and basically told them, hey, you're going to be bowing down to me. You know, I'm going to be in charge, and this is what's going on. And, of course, you know, his father took notice of it after he told his father the dreams. Kind of upset him a little bit. But he just took notice of what Joseph said. And lo and behold, here we go. His brothers go, and they're taking care of the animals. And his father tells Joseph, hey, listen, go check on your brothers. Go see what's going on. Make sure everything is going okay. And, you know, from there, you know, come back and report to me and let me know. So Joseph goes and he goes to check on his brothers. And, of course, he can't find them. So he runs into somebody who says, oh, yeah, hey, look, they're over here. This is where they went. So Joseph goes and, of course, he finds them. And as he's walking up upon them, they said, hey, look. Here comes the dreamer, you know, and of course they're mad at him because of the dreams that he had, the two dreams that he had, and basically put himself above them, and they did not like that at all. So the one brother says, listen, let's slay him and get rid of him, and we'll cut up his coat and, you know, we'll tell Father Jacob that, hey, you know, he was attacked and by animals and torn to pieces. And then the youngest one said, no, listen, that's our flesh and blood. Let's not do that. Let's throw him into the pit. And you know what? We'll take his coat and, you know, we'll deal with it from there. But let's not kill him because he's our flesh and blood. Well, lo and behold, the Ishmaelites come by and they buy him. They sell him to them. And Potiphar comes by, and he's the captain of the guard of the Egyptians, and he bought them from the Ishmaelites and brought them down. And, of course, he put him to work in his house. And it came to pass that at that time, he had all. I mean, the Lord had blessed him, and he was in charge of Potiphar's house. Everything had to go through Joseph. But he had one problem. Potiphar's wife kept hitting on him and wanted him to come and sleep with her. So Joseph refused. He no, I want no part of that. That's a sin against God. You are Potiphar's wife. I'm not going to do this. So one day when he's in there, and he's in there alone, and she's there, she does it again. She's hitting on him again, and she's continually doing this, so much so that she grabbed Joseph's coat, and he took off without it and ran out of there. He knew fight or flight, and he left. So then when Potiphar comes home, she said, look, you brought this Jew into me, this Hebrew into me, and I was crying out. I lifted up my voice and I cried out, and he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until Potiphar came home. And she told him this story. Well, right away, Potiphar, he's enraged, and he puts Joseph into prison. But the Lord was still with Joseph. And he showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And what happens with Joseph? Joseph ends up leading the prison. And that's exactly how this is taking place. And you could see Joseph is going through a lot of things because he was bragging about his dreams and everything else. He's going through humility. He's going through now these troubles, these trials and tribulations along the way. But much like Job did, as we read, Joseph is going through a lot of trials and tribulations too. He's been wrongfully accused. The dream he had, he bragged about to his brothers. They throw him into a pit. He's been sold into slavery, and they didn't care about him. And they took this coat back to their father with goat's blood on it, and it was ripped to shreds. And he said, "Oh my gosh, Jacob is now he's unconsolable. He's worried. He terrified." So, a lot of things are going on here, and we're coming to Joseph's test with the Egyptian society, and of course that's chapter 40, and that's in Genesis. So Genesis 40 is where we are at, and I'll tell you what, we're going to see a lot of stuff that is going to change for Joseph because God shows him favor. God shows everybody in this world favor. I mean, a lot of people don't understand it. You know, I have been in open book. I have 10 minutes before we start this. Was in the military, exposed to asbestos and beryllium. And that stuff kind of flicks switches in your bone marrow and everything else, your lungs and everything else. Developed lupus SLE, developed sarcoidosis. I had my lungs collapse in 2012 from it. 2020, they see a blood disorder. And, you know, you're dealing with a doctor that was getting ready to retire in a couple of years. So he just, you know, he was basically just trying to throw stuff at it to stick because they didn't know what it was. 2023, maybe about 4 months ago, they looked at it and it turns out to be T-cell lymphoproliferative disorder, which is just short of leukemia. Basically, it's what it is. Everything is amassed. The army is there ready to attack, but it doesn't happen. It's not done it yet, but it's in the lymphatic system. All these things do happen to us. You know, I am severe bipolar 2. I take medication for that. Lots of terrible thoughts, terrible dreams. A lot of things in life. Had a lot of friends commit suicide. Military and friends from home, relationships that failed, And when you go through that, you can't look at what the other person did. You have to look at what you did. You have to be able to go to the mirror and look at what you did and say, okay, what did I do to contribute to this failure? And that's a hard thing to do. And I did that. And that's how I looked at it, was I don't care what they did. That's irrelevant. What did I do? And take responsibility for it. And it is. It's very hard to do. Been through counselors left and right. And, you know, in this time in my life, I have now read the Bible a total of 4 times. Twice in the military. And then I got lost along the way. I made big mistakes, big errors, and everything else. Yet God showed favor to me, just as he's showing favor to Joseph. And you have to look at these things. If you don't believe that he is alive and well, then you're not looking. You're not seeing. He is there. But you have to want to see him there. And that's one of the biggest things. You have to want to see it. And you have to know where it's coming from. Faith, hope. I mean, faith is not seeing anything, but the notification to yourself that that really exists. And in this case, that is Christ God. And we have a timeline that we've went through here in Genesis, all the way up, all the way to the New Testament. And then we have a timeline from the New Testament all the way through. These aren't things made up. These are facts, artifacts. And the Bible itself, reading the Bible itself, is not going to get you into heaven. You can read and know the book inside and out. That is not going to get you there. Your belief, your faith, your hope, empathy, sympathy, all the things that are good, which there is no law against, is going to get you there. But the Bible is what the Bible is. It's basic instruction before leaving earth. And it's good instruction. And it's open to interpretation. So there's a lot of different interpretations on how you look at it. But as you read it, as you go through it, immerse yourself, delve into the stories. They're absolutely phenomenal, fantastic, perfect. You will come to your own conclusions. But you have to make an effort and understand, because there's some parts of the Bible that are like long and you're just like, oh my goodness, you know, why are we doing this? The begats. This person begat that person, begat that person, begat that person. There's your timeline. It's all important because it goes all the way back to the very beginning. And everything is really explained even before Adam and Eve. Everything is. But now here we are, and a lot of people in this world and today don't believe, don't delve into it. And what have you got to lose? A great study Bible is a great way to go, because then you can go back. Verses go back. They tell you, hey, look at this. They make mention of it in 4:23, you know, and they go through, take you back, and you're like, oh, okay, yeah, they did. They said that. And it's wonderful. It's a wonderful, wonderful way to calm yourself, to bring yourself to reality. Does that mean that it cures you, you know, or gets you through whatever it is? No, those things happen. God doesn't give you those things. He surely didn't give me lupus. He didn't give me sarcoidosis. He didn't give me the blood disorder the T-cell lymphoproliferative disorder, which is basically leukemia. He did not give me that. What he did give me was a means and a way to handle that. That's what he gives me. And when it comes to sin, I will always, he says, give you a way out if it's too much to handle. We have an advocate in us that protects us, that shows us, that guides us. We just have to believe. And that's really it. So if you are struggling, you know, I hope that you would call. I hate it when people struggle. It's so heartbreaking. And especially if they want to talk. I've talked to many veterans, helped many, and, you know, all I can do is listen, you know, be fast to listen and slow to speak. That way you know the whole story. That way you know the whole thing. But anyway, let's get back to this. So we know we've kind of caught up. We've done a quick catch up as to where Joseph is. He's in prison. But he's in charge of everything in prison because he has favor from the Lord. And the guards like him. Hey, you know, okay, handle this, Joseph. Handle that. Do whatever's needed. So Joseph has already went to Potiphar's house. And he was in charge. He just got falsely accused. He's now dumped into this prison. And he's in charge there. God, that's okay. I will show you favor. I'm going to be there with you in prison. While you are going through your trials and tribulations, I will never leave you. And trust me, he has never left. It's like somebody sticking their hand out to shake your hand. God is sticking his hand out to shake your hand. The only one who pulls their hand away when something is done wrong is us. His hand stays in the same position, waiting for us to come to him and shake his hand so he can grab onto us and guide us and protect us and pull us out of the worst possible situations that we go through. So let's get on to it. Joseph's test with the Egyptian society. And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against the two of them, his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. He put them in the ward, in the house, the captain of the guard, into prison, the place where Joseph was bound. So here it is, a baker and the butler. They are now with Joseph in prison. And think about how high up in the hierarchy they were. They worked for the king of Egypt. Now we're on chapter 40 again, Genesis, and we're on verse 4. Here we go. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them. And they continued a season in the ward. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker, the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them, I pray you. Tell me the dreams. Joseph saying, go ahead. You know what? I'm going to be slow to speak and fast to listen. And that's what he's telling them right there. tell me your dream. Give me the whole thing. Tell me what it is in a nutshell, and let's go through it. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, in my dream, behold, a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches, and it was though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it. Joseph understands the dream. God has shown him so much favor. Joseph is able to do the interpretation. And Joseph said to him, verse 12, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within the 3 days, Pharaoh shall lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place. And thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show me kindness, I pray thee, unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house, out of prison. So he's saying, listen, I gave you the interpretation. And as this is going to come true, please show kindness to me and let Pharaoh know. Get me out of here. I don't want to be in here. I don't belong to be in here. Please show me kindness. I pray for it. So now, verse 15, for indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews. And here also I have done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. When the chief baker saw the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had three white baskets on my head. And in the uppermost basket, there was of all manner the breakmeats for Pharaoh. And the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. And Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation thereof. Here we go. The butler is going to be restored. Now we're on to the baker. And Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation thereof. The three baskets are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up my head from off of thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee. So we know now, the butler, you're good to go, dude. Okay, here you go. The baker, I got bad news for you. You're going to die. You are going to die. And it is going to be not good. You're going to be hanged. So, it came to pass on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler of the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again. And he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. Just as he said, Joseph interpreted it perfectly. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but he forgot him. So now Joseph knows he's stuck. And we're heading into chapter 41. The butler did not, even though Joseph prayed, butler didn't say anything about Joseph. Joseph's still there in the dungeon. And it stinks because he didn't do anything wrong. So here we go. And it came to pass, chapter 41, Genesis. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there came out of the river 7 well-favored kine and fat-fleshed, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, seven other kind came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kind upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kind did eat up the seven well-favored and fat kind. So Pharaoh awoke, and he slept and dreamed the second time. And behold, seven ears of corn came up upon one stalk, rank and good. And behold, seven thin ears, and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. And the seven thin ears devoured the seven rank and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And it came to pass in the morning, his spirit was troubled. This scared him. Here you have this wonderful, can you imagine, you have everything that's wonderful, and then all of a sudden, these sickly ones come along and devour the healthy ones. Like they were never there. Like they were lunch. So Pharaoh is troubled by this. And I'll tell you, it came to pass in the morning, and this is verse 8, that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all his magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And the Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that can interpret them to Pharaoh. So now he's got all these people that he has called, magicians, all these magic people, you know, all the people who are supposed to be wise, the prophets or whatever. And none of them could tell Pharaoh what this dream means. So imagine now that how troubled he was before, he's got to feel real troubled and frustrated because the people that he counts on, well, they're not worth the thing. They can't tell him anything. And then here we go, verse 10. We'll let that go. And it came to pass in the morning, after his spirit was troubled, like I said, and he told him that. Then spoke the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants and put me in the ward in the captain of the captain's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night, I and he, and we dreamed each man according to the interpretations of his dream. And there was there with us a young man, a Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted us our dreams to each man according to his dream. He did interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted it to us, so it was. Me he restored unto my office, and him he hanged. So now we're on chapter 41, verse 14. So now, here we go. The butler, all of a sudden, pops out of his head, and he says, you know what? I do remember this. You know, when we were in the dungeon, I told Joseph after I had this dream that troubled me, he interpreted it. And the chief baker told him his dream, and he interpreted it. And it came true. It came to pass, just as he said it would. Exactly as he said it would. So here we are, verse 14. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is no one that can interpret it. I have heard say of thee that thou can't understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, in my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river. So he's going to tell Joseph this anyway. Joseph's already said, no. God has to do this for you. I can't do this. You know, but he's going to tell Joseph anyway. So here we go. Genesis 41, verse 18. And behold, there came out of the river seven kine, fat-fleshed and well-favored, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, seven other kine came up after them, poor and very ill-favored and lean-fleshed, such as I never saw in all the land of Egypt for badness. And the lean and the ill-favored kine did up the first seven fat kine. And when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them, but they were still ill-favored, as at the beginning. So I awoke, and I saw in my dream, and behold, seven ears came up in one stalk, full and good. And behold, seven ears withered, thin, and blasted with the east wind sprung up after them. And the thin ears devoured the seven good ears. And I told this unto the magicians, but there was none that could declare it to me. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God hath shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good kine are 7 years, and the seven good years are 7 years. The dream is one. And the seven thin and ill-favored kine that came up after them are 7 years and seven empty ears. Blasted with the east wind shall the 7 years of famine. So now Joseph's told them, okay, you're going to have 7 years of good crop. And after that, the whole land is going to go into a famine. 7 years. And there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. And Joseph's telling him right here, we got problems here. You got problems here, Pharaoh. You have problems. You're going to have 7 years of good food. Everything's going to be fine. After that, your land's going to be desolate. It's going to be famine. People are going to starve. They're going to be hurting. And here he goes. Verse 31. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by the reason of the famine following, for it shall be very grievous. And for that dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up a fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. So basically, hey, listen, take up a fifth part of this and let's store some stuff and let's prepare for this. We got to be prepared. Appoint somebody to do this because hard times are coming. And let them gather all the food of those good years that come and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh and let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. Now Joseph's not only interpreted this dream, but he's got a plan. And he's telling Pharaoh how to reveal and make this plan happen. He's already given him the ideas and everything. You need somebody that's going to be wise. And then you need officers below him to carry out the task to get the food. Store it up and protect it. So that when we have the famine in the land, we can give it out and people won't be starving. They won't be grievous because they'll be protected because you took the necessary precautions to protect them. It's your land. It's your kingdom. Protect them. So Joseph, now we're at Joseph's exultation over Egypt. Verse 37, Genesis 41. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath showed you all this, there is none so discreet and wise as you are, as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. Boom, Joseph's come out of the dungeon. The butler finally came through. The Pharaoh dreams a dream twice, but Joseph's telling him, no, it's one dream. It's the same thing, just in a different way. I can't interpret it for you. God can. But really, Joseph is, because God has favor with Joseph and has now interpreted it and give that interpretation to Joseph. Because Joseph is still remaining, he still has the integrity of a good and honest man, wrongfully accused. Yeah, he was brought to humility because of what he said to his brothers, and they called him the dreamer. But now he's been put in the dungeon. All of a sudden now, he's the second in command? So Pharaoh has said, you know, wait a minute. You're discreet and you're wise. And I'll tell you what. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto the word, shall all my people be ruled. Only the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him and bowed the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And we're on verse 44. But I'll tell you what, Joseph is now the second in command. This is exactly what he told his brothers in the dream. You will bow down to me. He was arrogant then. But believe me, he's had a lot of humility now. He's had a lot of trials and tribulations that make him realize, you know what? That was pretty arrogant. So now he's come to reality and he sees this. He's got a big task ahead of him. Pharaoh has just put Joseph second in charge of Egypt. Joseph has 7 years. 7 years, which might seem like a long time, but he's got 7 years to protect all the people in Egypt. That's not an easy task. He has to come up with all the logistics. He has to come up with just the preparations, just everything. Where am I going to put it? Where am I going to store it? How many people are there? I mean, can you imagine the thought process that has to go into this? And you're second in command. You were just taken out of the dungeon. You were nobody. And all of a sudden now, you've got all this heaped upon your shoulders. And it's a big task. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah, and he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And Joseph went out of the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. And in 7 plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls. And he gathered up all the food of the 7 years, which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities, the food of the field, which was round about every city, he laid up in the same. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much until he left numbering, for it was without number. So Joseph has managed to gather everything together. He's been preparing. He's got everything down, the logistics, everything else. And so much so, he can't keep track of it. He can't even number it. He can't keep track of it. And unto Joseph were born 2 sons before the years of famine came, which, as unto the daughter of Potiphar, priest of, bare to him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. I see I'm not good at these names. For God said, he made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second called he Ephraim. For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. And the 7 years of plenteous that was in the land of Egypt ended. Here we go. It's done now. All right. 7 years of good. Joseph has done exactly what he told Pharaoh he should do. And Pharaoh put him in charge. Now, he has stored up food. The land was just plentiful. Sown well, reaped well, and stocked up on. So much so, they could barely keep track of it. They didn't keep track of it. So now we move on. Genesis 42, verse 54. And the 7 years of dearth began to come, according as Joseph had said. So here it is. The dream's coming true. Pharaoh, this is what I told you about. This is what I warned you about. This is the exact interpretation. It was in all the lands, but in the land of Egypt there was bread. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried unto Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, go unto Joseph, what he said to you, do. And the famine was all over the face of the earth. So Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold to all the Egyptians. And the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all the countries came unto Egypt to Joseph to buy corn. Because of that, the famine was so sore in all the lands. Joseph's got this food now. And guess what? He's making Pharaoh money. Because he's selling it. You want food? Here you go. I'm going to sell it to you. We've got it. Because he was smart enough to know that they needed to store it up. And Pharaoh, you know, amazed by Joseph's dream, Joseph's now saying, wait a minute here. I'm not giving it to you for free. Here we go. You'll pay for it. And the money's going to the king, Pharaoh. Chapter 42. Joseph's brothers visit Egypt. Now when Joseph saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob, his father, said unto his sons, why do you look one upon another? And he said, behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die. So Jacob, his family, he's not growing anything either because it's all over, as we know, the face of the earth. So he's telling the boys, hey, listen, don't waste time. Get on down there to Egypt. I heard that they have food. Go get it so that we don't perish. And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with his brethren, for he said, least peradventure mischief befall him. And the sons of Israel's come down to buy corn among those that came, for the famine in the land of Canaan. And Joseph was the governor over the land. And he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And when Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. Here we go. Now we're rolling. Joseph told them from the very beginning, although it was arrogant in the way he said it, you will bow down to me. And here they come before him, thinking he's this guy from Pharaoh. They don't recognize him. And they're bowing down with their faces down in the land, you know. So here we go, with their faces down to the earth. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spoke roughly unto them. And he said to them, whence come ye? And they said, from the land of Canaan, to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew him not. See, they figured he was dead. He was gone. He's a slave. Something has happened to him. They haven't seen him since they did the dirty deed that they did to him by throwing him in the pit and then selling him to the Ishmaelites, which the captain of the guard of Pharaoh bought. He bought him from them. So they don't even know Joseph. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he had dreamed of them. And he said to them, ye are spies, to see the nakedness of the land ye are come. And they said unto him, nay, my lord, but to buy food are thy servants come. We are all one man's sons. We are true men. Thy servants are no spies. And he spoke to them, nay, but to see the nakedness of the land ye are come. And they said, thy servants are 12 brethren, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is not. The one that's not was, guess who? Joseph. He's the one who's not. 12 brothers. One is not, and the other one is Benjamin. Benjamin is with Jacob. Jacob's not going to let him go. He doesn't want anything to happen to him, any type of mischief or anything befall him that is going to be evil. And Joseph spoke unto them, that is it that I spoke unto you, saying, you are spies. Hereby you shall be proved. By the life of Pharaoh, you shall not go forth hence, except your youngest brother come hither. Send one of you, and let him fetch your brother. And you shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved, whether there be any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely ye are spies. And he put them all together under ward in 3 days. And Joseph said unto them, the third day do this and live, for I fear God. If ye be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye, carry corn for the famine of your houses, but bring your youngest brother unto me. So shall your words be verified, and ye shall not die. And they did so. So Joseph is testing them. Plus he wants to see his brother. They don't recognize him. Now, he could do a lot of things to them, but at this time, he is not. But he does want them to do as he says and bring his younger brother to them. you know, to him. So, and Reuben answered them, saying, and Reuben, if you remember, was the one that said, don't take his life. He is our flesh and blood. And Reuben answered them, saying, spoke I not unto you, saying, do not sin against the child, and you would not hear? Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. And they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spoke unto them by an interpreter. And he turned himself about from them and wept and returned to them again and communed with them and took from them Simeon and bound him before their eyes. Then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn and restore every man's money into his sack and gave them provision for the way. And thus did he unto them. And they loaded their asses with the corn and departed thence. And as one of them opened his sack to give his ass some food for the inn, he espied his money, for behold, it was in his sack's mouth. And he said unto his brother, my money is restored, and lo, it is even in my sack. And their heart failed them. So imagine, they pay this money to buy provisions. The second in charge of Egypt tells them, you, to prove you're not spies, you will bring your younger brother here. And then their money's in their sacks. And of course, they're full of fear because it looks like they stole the food now. And Reuben's already upset because of what happened to Joseph. So it's gonna be tough on him now. And they came unto Jacob, their father, unto the land of Canaan, and told him all that befell unto them, saying, the man who is the Lord of the land spoke roughly to us and took us for spies of the country. Imagine that. You're spies. You are spies. And we answered unto him, we are true men and no spies. We be 12 brethren, sons of our father. One is not, that's Joseph, and the youngest is this day with our father in the land of Canaan. And the man, the Lord of the country, said unto us, hereby shall I know you are true men. Leave one of your brethren here with me, and take the food for the famine of your households, and be gone. And bring your youngest brother unto me. Then I shall know that ye are no spies, but you are true men. So I will deliver your brother, and ye shall traffic in the land. And it came to pass, as they emptied their sacks, and behold, every man's bundle of money was in his sack, when both they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. And Jacob their father said unto them, me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simon is not. And ye will take Benjamin away? All these things are against me. And Reuben spoke unto his father, saying, slay my two sons, if I bring him not to thee and deliver him into thy hand, and I will bring him to thee again. So Reuben is the one now that's speaking up, saying, wait a minute. Well, I'll bring Benjamin, but even if it's the cost of me or my children or anything else, I will bring him back to you. I will make sure he comes back. And he said, my son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is left alone. If mischief befall him by the way in which you go, then shall ye bring down my gray hairs with the sorrow to the grave. So now, Jacob has already struggled. He's saddened. He's been inconsolable. And now the youngest one, Benjamin, he's going to let him go? And what if something happens to him? That'll be the end of Jacob. So here we are now, chapter 43, Joseph's brother's second journey to Egypt. And the famine was sore in the land. And it came to pass, when they had eaten up the corn which they had bought out of Egypt, their father said unto them, Go again, buy us a little food. And Judah spoke unto him, saying, The man did solemnly protest unto us, saying, You shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. If thou wilt send your brother with us, we will go down and buy thee food. But if thou wilt not send him, we will not go down. For the man said to us, You shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. And Israel said, Wherefore dealt ye so ill with me, as to tell the man whether ye had yet a brother? And they said, The man asked us straitly out of our state and out of our kindred, saying, Your father yet alive? Ye have another brother? And we told them according to the tenor of these words. Could we certainly know that he would say, Bring your brother down? How did they know he was going to say, Bring your brother back? So Joseph doesn't even, never seen Benjamin. You know, there's a lot laying on the line here for all these boys. And Judah said unto Israel, his father, Send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and thou, and also our little ones. And I will be surety for them. Of my hand shall thou require him. If I bring him not unto thee and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame forever. For except we have lingered, surely now we had returned the second time. And their father Israel said unto them, If it must be so now, do this. Take the best fruits in the land in your vessels, carry down the man a present, a little balm, a little honey, spices, myrrh, nuts, and almonds, and take double the money in your hand and the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sacks. Carry it again in your hand, peradventure it was an oversight. Take also your brother and arise. Go again unto the man. And God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother and Benjamin. If I bereave of my children, I am bereaved. And the men took the present, and they took double the money in their hand, and Benjamin, and rose up and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. Now right here we're on chapter 43, verse 16. Joseph's second in charge of Egypt. And of course they brought double the money. They brought myrrh, they honey, spices, nuts, almonds, balm, double the money, and Benjamin. And there they are. They're going to present it to him and say, Listen, maybe this was an oversight. I don't know. But here it is from the first time you gave us the food. Here's Benjamin. Please accept these gifts as our apology. And here, and we're right there now. When Joseph saw Benjamin, verse 16, with them, he said to the ruler of the house, Bring these men home and slay and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon. Go ahead, get the meat prepared. And the men did as Joseph bade, and the men brought the men into Joseph's house. And the men were afraid, because they were brought into Joseph's house. And they said, Because of the money that was returned in our sacks for the first time, we are brought in, that he may seek occasion against us and fall upon us and take us for bondmen and our asses. And they came near to the steward of Joseph's house, and they communed with him at the door of the house and said, O sir, we came indeed down at the first time to buy food. And it came to pass when we came to the inn, we opened our sacks, and behold, every man's money was in the mouth of the sack, our money in full weight, and we have brought it again in our hand. And the other money we have brought down in the hands to buy food. We cannot tell who put the money in our sacks. And he said, peace be with you, fear not, your God. And the God of your father hath given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money. And he brought Simeon out unto them. And the man brought the men into Joseph's house. And he gave them water. And they washed their feet. And he gave their asses provider, you know, to make sure they were provided. And they made ready in the presence against Joseph came at noon, for they heard that they should eat bread there. And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present, which was in their hand, to the house, and bowed themselves to him to the earth. And he asked them of the welfare, and said, is your father well? The old man of whom ye spoke, is he yet alive? And they answered, thy servant, our father is in good health. He is yet alive. And they bowed down their heads and made obedience. And he lifted up his eyes, and he saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, is this your younger brother of whom you spoke unto me? And he said, God be gracious unto thee, my son. And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother, and he sought where to weep, and he entered into his chamber and wept there. Joseph's so happy now to see a brother he didn't know about, and he's trying to hold his emotions in, his love. And he goes into this other room to weep. He doesn't want them seeing him crying and weeping, but he is elated. He's not happy. He's full of joy. He's full of joy. And he washed his face and went out and refrained himself and said, set on the bread. And they set on for him by himself and for them by themselves and for the Egyptians, which did eat with them by themselves, because the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination unto the Egyptians. And they sat before him, the firstborn, according to the birthright, and his younger, according to his youth. And the men marveled at one another, and he took and sent messes unto them from before them. But Benjamin's mess was five times so much as any of theirs. And they drank, and they were merry with him. And that's where we're going to stop tonight. And we will catch up again next week on chapter 44 in Genesis. But imagine how spectacular that this is turning out to be, not only for Joseph, but for his brothers. And Benjamin doesn't even know that's his brother. So it's going to be fantastic. And we're going to pick it up there next week. But I want you to take consideration to everything that has transpired, everything that has passed, and everything that has happened along the way. The dreaming, the interpretations. Now you're seeing God work with the power that he has. And next week, before we start this chapter, we're going to talk about that power God has, how it can change things, how it's changed things for me, and how it can change for you. So I'm going to leave you with this. This country's experiencing a lot of things. All the trials and tribulations, the world is experiencing a lot of things, all the trials and tribulations. But God always said, take heart, I am always with you. Take notice of it. Don't be afraid. Be courageous. Know that God loves you. Because it's only going to get better from the day that you accept that and the day that you believe that. It's really going to get good. Much love to you all. Peace be with you. Thank you for tuning into Life Walk with Christ God. We'll see you next week.